golden image of the coming Buddha, who is to bring the teachings to the Western world with the immortal inscription of the sacred formula, Om Mani Padme Hum, born of the lotus, inscribed in the ancient and modern lettering taken from the religious language of India, the Sanskrit. Its entire meaning is symbolized in this mystic symbol. They believe that the mere repetition of these mystic words will awaken the subconscious psychic forces of those who constantly repeat it. Now come with me in a flight in the clipper ship of imagination from San Francisco across the vast Pacific. The jump that man makes in four stops we will make only in one, and on to the eastern border of Asia and down around the famous port of Singapore, up to the Bay of Bengal, to the second largest city of the British Empire, Calcutta, and then overnight by train and through the jungles of Sikkim to that famous trade center, Kalimpong, into the heart of Asia, the land of the Lama, the most guarded country in the world, located on the other side of the greatest mountain ranges on earth, the Himalayan Mountains. 'Tis no wonder that this land, located so close to heaven, that its people spend their life in prayer, separated from India and from China by the world's highest mountain peak, Mount Everest, 29,000 feet in height, with its vast plateaus averaging 12,000 feet. Its height is felt when compared with the mountain ranges in the plains of the United States, whose average altitude is only 500 feet, and our highest peak, Mount Whitney, 14,000. And so we prepare to enter the land of mystery with its forbidden city, Lhasa, located about 400 miles from our border town. Within its boundaries, there is nothing that moves on wheels, even though they have been in contact with the idea of the wheel for centuries. When one has a glimpse of the trails over which it is necessary to pass in order to enter, it is clearly seen why animals are so necessary. The carpenters saw the hewn logs brought direct from the jungle into the boards which they planed down to make the transport boxes which must not carry over 80 pounds, for it is the rule of the country that each animal shall only carry 160 pounds when negotiating those 16,000 feet passes. The transport is ready. Friends from the village come to bid our party goodbye and hope that we have a safe crossing of the snow-covered passes where spring storms have been raging the past few weeks. And so with the break of day, the transport is ready and we're off to cross the Naftalau at 16,000 feet and up through the Chumbi Valley onto the Great Tibetan Plateau to Gyantse, 250 miles on the interior of Tibet at the end of the British trade route. And on the face of this 5 miles of the Earth's surface towering straight into heaven is our ribbon-like trail suspended over the cliffs, swimming in the wind far above nothing. And so we slowly weave our way from jungles to perpetual snows, over the pines and firs and around lovely little mountain lakes. With each day we come closer and closer to the pass. We try to get off for an earlier start, but the spring rains are here, and it is necessary that we be far underway when the sun reaches midday so that we can cross that sheer sheet of ice just before negotiating the pass. And over the top, through rain and sleet, mud and slush, which makes the crust so soft that it will not hold up the animals, every fall robs us of our last reserves of energy, which is necessary to ward off the freezing winds which are going our way at a mile a minute, penetrating through layers of robes lined with furs. Over the top and up the Chumbi Valley, lifting over the barren waste, far above the timberline, on those vast wastelands swept each day by the bellows of the gods. On the other side of that necklace of the gods, our caravan slowly winds its way from spring to spring. Food and fuel are very scarce, making it necessary to carry enough grain to feed the small donkeys that are now used to trek across those